That's right, you're listening to BFM Drive. Right now you're listening to the sounds of Void Waves. The track's called Haunted on the BFM playlist. The reason we're playing this is because we're going to play a very special interview. Very shortly. Now this interview is all about, I think, one of the hottest films of the new year that we all have to see. And even better, it's a New Zealand film. The film is called Marama, directed and written by Tarutoa Stafford, and I had the pleasure of speaking to Tarutoa last week about the film. Marama is set in 1859 when a young Maori woman is summoned from New Zealand to North Yorkshire, and she uncovers the horrific truth of her colonial heritage. She must destroy the titled Englishman who has devastated her family. If that sounds like a bit of you, you'll love this interview. If you're a film nerd, if you're into Barry Barclay, we speak about all those things in this. We're going to listen to this interview now. This is Tarutoa Stafford speaking about his film, Marama. You were a screenwriter and director on this project, which is a pretty incredible feat. Did you work with other writers on this film, or was it solely from the brain?
I mean, it was solely from the brain, but I had a lot of assistance and support and consultation in the development of the script. So, yeah, I don't know. I keep hearing that apparently the average length of time it takes from the first draft to shooting being completed, in other words, everything's in the can, as they say, is 7 years. And I distinctly remember completing my first draft in October 2020. And then we wrapped on the shoot in October 2024. So what's that? 5 years, right?
That's incredible. Wait. 4 years.
Can't even incredible. Do the math. So we did all right. Yeah, we did all right. But I'm just saying that because, yes, there was at least three and a half, four years even of script development. And I was fortunate enough to have the support of, mostly Wahine Māori, that my producer very carefully positioned me with and alongside to just take their advice. So I'm talking about, I suppose, linguists, obviously. So I don't speak Te Reo Māori fluently. I don't speak really more than a sentence, I suppose. So it was great to have the language assistance, the cultural assistance, and just story structure and development. Yeah, I was very privileged to get all of that help from all those people in my first draft.
Wow, that's incredible. It's a very trite question, but I think it's an interesting one nonetheless. But the idea for this film, because it feels like a lot of films out there are recycled copy and paste scripts or storylines. This one feels very fresh and new. So where did the spark come from for you when you were writing this film?
Thank you. I'm glad you think it feels fresh. To my knowledge, it's the first Maori Gothic horror out there. But and some people have said, is it really a horror? And I'm like, well, I think it is. So yeah. And anyway, horror is broad enough as a genre to have many different types of subcategories and subcategories. And now it has a Maori Gothic horror subcategory. Yay! But I'm sorry, the idea, if I track it back, I came back to Aotearoa, because I've lived most of my life in London. My father was English and my mother is Maori, but she lives in the UK. And so have I for most of my life. But I came back to Aotearoa for the first time in a long time in 2018 or 19, I can't remember, I'm sorry, to bring a short film to Maoriland Film Festival in Otaki. And like when my short got in, I knew I had to try and get there from the UK because my mother grew up around there. And I whakapapa to Marae in the area, Ngātakowaru, just outside of Levin. Ngāti Raukua, Ngāti Parirokua, Ngāti Toa, Ngāti Tuwharetoa, but mostly around that area. So to go back to Māori land was so special and so inspirational. And I think I can track it back to that visit to Māori land that I think maybe that was where I first thought, oh, maybe I've got some stories to tell that come from here, and being there and meeting with, for the first time, mostly with extended whanaunga, is what gave me the confidence to think, yeah, perhaps I could try and tell a story. But why a Maori Gothic horror set in Victorian England, 1859? Well, I hadn't really seen that many. I'm no expert, but I hadn't seen that many Maori stories that centered a Maori character outside of Aotearoa, if I'm being completely honest. And I thought, well, I have no lived experience as a Maori in Aotearoa, so I can't really speak to that. But I can speak to the idea of a Maori person. I mean, not a young wahine Maori like in Marama, but okay, just the idea of being slightly other, abroad, perhaps, let's say that, and specifically in Victorian England. That was intriguing to me. And the history of the time was fascinating. And also, I want to, you know, give a mihi, pay credit to a cousin of mine who was visiting in London. This would have been about 2016, 2017. And he was telling me about the hairanga, the journeys that Maori made much earlier than I had ever conceived of. Like, they pretty much got on those boats that first colonized New Zealand and went the other way, because that's how they rolled, right? They were just extremely exploratory and been navigators since many, many, way before Cook and his crew. And it was no big deal for them to get on these boats and just go back, or not back, sorry, to go out or return with the boats to as it were, UK, America even, Vienna, in Austria. Amazing stories. And I had not realized that. So that kind of gave me permission in my head to imagine a story that centered a young wahine Maori who travels is mysteriously summoned, if you like, to Victorian England. And then it was just a case of, okay, now let's devise some kind of story here around her whakapapa. And the rest is, yeah, you just have to go and watch the film.
It's so interesting to hear you say that in your whakaaro, because when I was doing my research for this, I was just like so deeply reminded of Barry Barclay, Fourth Cinema, Camera on the Shore. This is like the next step, taking our camera to their shores and like being reflexive and being like, okay, let's see what's happening here. Let's expose some of what's happening here with our camera this time. So it's really beautiful. How special does it feel to be part of that lineage and like a continuation of that idea where you're literally taking your camera to them?
I love that. I wish I could say that I had thought of it, but I hadn't ever thought of it that way. But that's lovely to hear you say that. What a huge honor to think that my first feature might be a small next step in I don't know, expanding the point of view, how to put it, telling a slightly different lane of stories. There's so many stories to be told, and so thank you. I love that thought. And how does it feel? Amazing. It's been amazing just to share my first feature with, like, it's a bit back to front in a way, coming to show it to Aotearoa and to tangata whenua, gosh. After being now, I'm at a festival now in Norway, and it's my 11th festival, and it's the film's 15th festival around the world. And now finally, next month, we get to come back to Aotearoa. But it has been amazing showing the film to foreign audiences, and perhaps especially to indigenous audiences. Like, we were lucky enough and fortunate enough to be chosen and selected to have our world premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival last September. And in fact, it was there that I met many different indigenous filmmakers, because they have a positive skew towards programming indigenous films at Toronto, which is cool, including Marama last year. There I met these wonderful Sami filmmakers from Norway, Finland, and they had seen Marama and they really responded to it. And they were like, you have to come and show our people your film. I was like, well, invite me. So they did, and now I'm here, you know. Now today and tomorrow I get to talk about Marama to Sami, well, Norwegian, and Sami filmmakers. So it's a privilege, but I really am psyched to be coming home in February.
It's the return of a taonga for sure. It's you took the question right out of me. I was going to ask about TIFF and what it was like to show it to an audience in Turtle Island, but that's perfect. I did want to talk about music and soundtrack because, you know, music's so important to an atmosphere of a film. And you're working with two New Zealand greats, two of Aotearoa's very, very own, Carl Stevens and Rob Thorne. What was that collaboration like? And was it just like, here's the reins for you guys? Or were you guys, what was the working process like for you guys?
Oh, I'm so pleased. Thank you for mentioning, for bringing up. Yes, Carl and Rob, as you say, legends. I was privileged enough to work with Carl on a short film that I had made before Marama with the same production team, so that was a great experience. And working with Carl and Rob on Marama was awesome as well. Gosh, it was a little bit like, here's the reins. What have you got? Because I'm no musical specialist, but they both absolutely are. And what I would say was very special about working with both of them is, and I'd say this to any filmmakers who have the opportunity to work with composers, if you can, and if you've got composers that are into your project enough or that have the time or you can afford them to do this, get them to do what Carl and Rob did for me, which is make a lot of the music before we even shot a frame of the film. I was able to play the music, not the final music, obviously, but like a really good version of the music to the cast in the read through. And that helps because you're kind of, it's a bit like showing them a beautiful, not that I was able to do this, but a beautiful pitch deck or, incredible amounts of storyboards. But I feel actually music is more emotive than that and less constricting. And so to be able to play some of Carl and Rob's wonderful compositions before we shot a minute of the film, to the cast and to the crew was just so cool. And I had it on set. I was able to play a couple of tracks. I was thinking, this is one of the pieces that I'm hoping might go with this scene. So let's play the music for the mood. But no, they were both wonderful. And I was so grateful that they were able to do that for me. And then once it came to the final version, the polishing, and that was a dream. With Carl, he was so casual, but he said, have you heard of this? Have you heard of an instrument called the Haldorophone? I was like, no, I haven't, Carl. What's that? It's like a double bass, or maybe not double bass. It's the next one down. He said, just imagine one of them, but it's sort of like pimped with four pickups underneath the strings, and it gives off a very uncanny, strange sound. I was like, well, it sounds interesting. If you like it, Carl. He went, yeah. Thing is, there's 15 of them in the world, and they're mostly in Iceland. So do you fancy coming to Iceland and we'll record it? I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we went to Iceland to record this Haldorophone, which forms a large part of the more traditional, because it's not traditional, but of the more sort of traditionally inclined music. And then there's the music that Rob creates with Carl, which is much more taonga puro based. So there's a huge fusion of sort of traditional gothic classic, taonga puro, and then this strange element of Haldorophone, which we picked up in Iceland. So I hope people enjoy the score. I love it. I'm biased, but I love it.
That is so epic. That's so epic. Marama is having its New Zealand premiere tonight, whānau. And then I'll be in theatres from February 12th all across the country. So make sure you get out and support this film. A Māori gothic film, probably the first of its kind. Aren't we lucky? We're going to head into a little ad break here. Thank you so much, Tāra Toa, for speaking to me.